He was a linebacker and fullback, but he was also a shorter guy.
That's Allie Epperson. She's talking about Zach Easter, whom she dated when they were both in high school almost a decade ago in Indianola, Iowa.
So I think he was only like 5'4", but a really hard header. He quickly found out that, you know, if he used his head, he could take down any player, no matter how big the other one was. He learned to use his head as a battering ram. He was wild on the field, and even the bigger guys on this team were afraid to go one-on-one with him.
Zach had started playing football when he was 8, and though he was not diagnosed with a concussion until he was in high school, from the age of 10, he'd often complained of headaches. But he'd never considered quitting football, and his parents hadn't thought about what the hitting might be doing to their son. Then, before the 2009 high school football season, Zach's father took him to a camp in Missouri to see how well the senior might do against players from throughout the Midwest. A head-to-head collision left Zach woozy. He and his father went home. Neither of them worried that the collision and wooziness would prevent Zach from showing up on time when his team began practicing.
He would suffer a blow or feel really dizzy and have all these symptoms, but he loved football, and he didn't want to take himself out of the game, and he didn't want to disappoint his friends or his family or and most of all his teammates or himself, so he just kept quiet.
During the fourth game of his senior season, Zach suffered another concussion. He was sidelined for 3 weeks. Almost immediately after returning to the field, he got hit again. He appeared disoriented, as if he didn't know what to do when the play was over. After the game, his brothers said he seemed oddly absent. He was described as emotionless, vacant. That episode marked the end of Zach's football career, though he wanted to keep playing. But according to Allie Epperson, the consequences of that career and of all the football Zach had been playing since he was 8 were becoming more and more evident. After a brief stint in a community college, Zach moved back to Indianola. He was involved in a traffic accident and sustained another concussion. He tried to stay in touch with Allie. She found him more and more remote.
There would be conversations. We would be on the phone, whether actually talking on the phone or just text message, and he would bring up a subject or ask me a question or tell me a story that, you know, we had talked about just a few days earlier, or even ask me things that he had asked a few minutes earlier. There would be some weekends where he would go out and party and be very social and you know, engage in activities that probably weren't great for him, like drinking a lot, knowing what we know now about CTE. But then he would go 2 weeks without hardly talking to anyone or leaving his apartment.
Zach told Allie he was struggling with headaches, memory loss, and mood swings. And when she returned to Indianola, she saw some of the problems for herself.
There was one time our group of friends were hanging out, playing pool together. He could not remember, like, what ball he was supposed to be going after with the striped or solid pool balls. And he did a good job of trying to cover it up and blame it on. We had been drinking, so blame it on the drinking, but he truly could not remember.
It must have been an incredible effort for him to cover up what he was experiencing, or at least to try to do that.
Yeah, I think it was, I mean, I know it was exhausting for him, and at times he simply just couldn't do it anymore, and so that's why he would kind of isolate himself from everyone, sometimes even from me. And I think at the end, it was too much exhaustion for him when he knew it was always going to be like that, it was only going to get worse.
Over the course of several years, it did get worse. Though Zach saw dozens of doctors, none of them were able to offer him much relief from the pain and confusion that characterized his days. One morning in the middle of November 2015, Allie got a phone call from Zach that she'll never forget, in part because
it did not sound like the Zach I had known for the past 5 or 6 years. And that was one of the most terrifying moments, is hearing him in that state of panic and pain and exhaustion and everything else.
What did you do?
Well, I was, at the time, I was a 1L in law school in Cleveland, Ohio, so I still wasn't home. I called him, and he, you know, it was 10 a.m., 10:30 back home, and he was already just completely inebriated and just freaking out, felt like he was hearing voices and didn't understand what was happening and was just, you know, kept saying that it was never going to get better. He didn't know what to do, and that he was sorry, and just like felt like he was going out of his mind. That is terrifying to hear. But I got him calmed down for a little while, but it was later that night when he was, you know, still drunk and still freaking out that he attempted to commit suicide.
Did he feel like football had anything to do with this?
He knew football had everything to do with it. He suffered silently from his symptoms for about 6 years. I was the first person he opened up to about it completely, and he did that in May of 2015. And I want to say starting in March or April, he got really, really, really serious about seeing dozens of doctors and just trying to figure it out. And it was around this time that he really started looking into CTE and got really scared. He knew 100% that that's what he had, and it was terrifying for him.
Zach's deterioration, which, remember, was continuing 6 years after he'd played his final football game, was terrifying to his family, too. It was also mystifying. His brothers had both played football. His father and mother were still enthusiastic fans. Sundays were still for football games on TV, except for the days when family members attended Green Bay Packers games together. Allie says the game is still a big part of life for the members of Zach's family. Even before that phone call with Allie in November, during which Zach had talked about suicide, he'd begun keeping a journal. Allie told me Zach needed it for doctor's appointments. Without it, when he was asked how he'd been feeling, he couldn't provide an answer. She thinks that with the journal, Zach was also writing a kind of letter to himself, perhaps because he was finding it more and more difficult to communicate with anybody else. Here's an actor reading a portion of that journal.
My depression kicked into full gear, and I started having symptoms of anxiety. I feel like I've started to become delusional, or I've been hearing and seeing things. Over the years, I've been starting to forget people's names and just forget daily things.
Then in December, Zach reached out to Allie again with a text. It read in part, "Thank you for everything. You've helped me through so much, and never blame yourself for anything."
And it was the most past tense text I'd ever received. I knew what he was about to do. I didn't know before, but at that point, I tried to start calling him and get a hold of him and contact his family and try to get them to figure out where he was because I was still 20 minutes away. My friend put me in his truck and we rushed back home, but it was on our way home that I got the call from his mom that he had died.
What did he do?
He shot himself in the heart in order to protect his brain and donate his brain to science.
Examination of Zach's brain confirmed his self-diagnosis. Dr. Bennett Omalu, the same man who discovered CTE in the brain of former Pittsburgh Steeler Mike Webster back in 2002, found the condition in the brain of this young man who had never played beyond high school. After Zach's death, his parents made public their son's journal.
September 2015. I'm scared. If I can't get help or get better, I may just want to end it all. As in suicide. I'm just so tired of feeling so and anxious.
Allie Epperson was among the first people to read the pages of Zach's journal.
It was hard. I couldn't read them at first. It took me a while to really get through all of them. It was written in such Zach form that anyone who read it felt like they were talking to Zach. But it was also, again, just devastating to, you know, hear again what he was going through and how hopeless he felt himself. You never want to have someone you love go through that, and to really have that down in writing is even, I think, harder to comprehend and to make peace with.
In an effort to do that, to make peace with a terrible loss, Allie and Zach's family have created an organization called CTE Hope to educate players, their families, and their coaches about brain trauma. One of the messages Allie and the Easters try to convey is that even kids born into football-loving families shouldn't start playing tackle football as early as Zach did. Then there's what they've learned about treatment, which is that a lot of doctors haven't learned everything they should know about concussions in particular and head injuries in general. The work of CTE Hope is not well-funded, and it's too soon to measure the impact of the message Allie Epperson and the Easters are trying to convey. But Allie feels they're moving the discussion of CTE in the right direction.
I am optimistic, if for no other reason than I've already seen his life have such an impact on people. We've had a lot of parents and even players who say they're not going to play anymore because they don't want this to happen. You know, that's the whole point, to help people and bring awareness and make people take this issue seriously.
I was introduced to Ali Epperson by Richard McElroy of the BBC. Richard and I made a radio documentary about CTE and the future of football titled End Zone. You can find a link to it at onlyagame.org.